Do you ever feel stuck, like you're living your life on autopilot? Are you ready to shift into high gear and reach the success you so richly deserve? Welcome to the Play Big Movement podcast. I am your host, Sharon Lecter, entrepreneur, business strategist, and best-selling author. Playing big is not about settling for good enough or being comfortable. It is about reaching your highest potential and achieving your greatest success. Join me in my Play Big movement as I interview top experts in business, money, and entrepreneurship, all ready to serve you and to help you play big, be number one in your field, live your legacy, and create maximum impact. Welcome, everybody, to this segment of the Play Big Movement podcast with Sharon Lecter. I have an exciting show for you today because this talks about the power of association and coming full circle in always striving to create success in your life. And I welcome Chris Hansen, who's with me today. Well, happy to have you here, Chris.
Hey, Sharon. Thank you for having me. Excited to be here.
He's in his new house in Flagstaff, so he's out of the heat where I'm sitting here in Phoenix. It's a little warm here, so I'm a little jealous, a little envious. But Chris's story is incredible. We talk about somebody who really grew up within the real estate industry and created tremendous success and is now providing opportunities for other people to be successful. But I want to kind of start from the beginning, Chris. I always like our guests to talk about little Chris. Share a little bit about how you got started.
You want to go back to the first real estate deals? Or even before that, it probably started in my youth when I loved playing Monopoly. Monopoly was one of my most favorite games, and I wanted to grow up and do that. But I think probably the interesting start to the story would be at University of Arizona, where I was in the entrepreneurship program, and we had a guest speaker who came down and left an impact. It was you speaking on the Rich Dad, Poor Dad and cash flow quadrant stuff. And that was you were a guest speaker at the college in the entrepreneurship program. And I always remembered that. I started playing the game after that. And that was really where, you know, that program opened my eyes to some of the possibilities within real estate. After college, I got out of college in 05. I didn't go directly into real estate. I went into mortgage first, before ultimately ending up in real estate in 2008. And you know, should we ruin it now? We reconnected early this spring when you were at one of the events where we launched the TEM investment fund with Tarek. And we got to meet backstage and have a brief chat. And I got to tell you how inspiring that was, you know, 16 years ago.
Well, it was just so fabulous. And for the audience and listeners, you don't know when you're making an impact on someone. I know I went to the University of Arizona and spoke to the entrepreneur class only one time. And so Mike and I went to support Tarek in the launch of this fund, which he's doing with Chris, but we didn't know that at the time. And so we went to support him. And this very handsome man that you're looking at comes up to me and says, you don't know who I am, but you know, 16 years ago, you taught a class and you actually use the words, because of that class, I stand before you a multimillionaire in real estate, I believe. Yep. Something along that line. Yeah. And I was like, whoa. And I have to tell you, Chris, I've used that story a few times. And so I've talked about it, you just never know, because part of the Play Big movement, we talk about being number one in your field, living your legacy, which is every heart you touch along the way is your legacy. And so you've proven that point and creating maximum impact. And so I was just so thrilled. It's given me fuel. I'm still going on that because I think it's fantastic. And as a result, Mike and I continued supporting you guys, but we actually invested in the fund with Tarek because it's the full circle of introduction education and then relying on your expertise and investing and putting our money where our mouth is. So I think this is just an incredible story to share with our audience about you never know the impact you're going to make. And you never know the opportunities and the doors that you're going to open. So share a little bit more about what all you're doing these days.
Well, the other thing that was funny about that meeting was I told you the impact that you had was so valuable to me. And you said that a lot of people will come up and say, you changed my life. And the variance was you provided the motivation or the knowledge and the impact to go change my own life. And you said nobody had used those words before, which I thought was interesting too.
Yeah, I love it. People come up to me all the time and say, Rich, that part had changed my life, or you changed my life. And I'll, in essence, what you just said, I stop them and I go, I'm so thrilled that I wrote something that inspired you. But if your success is because you took the action, you owned it. So own your own success and share with me, yes, that I inspired you to take action, because there's millions of people out there that have read Rich Dad Poor Dad that did nothing with it. So
they didn't turn into real estate moguls, did they? Not all of them, at least.
That's right. That
deal, our first deal, Sharon, is closing next Friday. Actually, we got word from Freddie Mac today, final loan approval, clear to close. So it's really coming full cycle.
Yep.
So back to the real estate stuff. Once I got, when the financial meltdown happened and I started getting into, I was in mortgage, which kind of evaporated, wholesale mortgage with Wells Fargo Financial was the first job, real job, I guess I had. I got into foreclosures at the suggestion of a guy that I knew who was a home builder who was basically losing everything in the financial downturn. We went to Dubai and Abu Dhabi to work on a development project, and he kind of opened, you know, reignited that motivation of, hey, now's a good time to get into it. And I had the real rags to riches because I was out of money. I cash advanced my credit card and bought the first foreclosure house with $36,000. It was in Mesa, Arizona at the foreclosure auction in 2008. And then it's been a wild ride since then. We got into apartment buildings, we got into banking. So we were mortgage bankers in a few states around the country. We do hard money lending nationally. We're building apartment communities from the ground up. We're buying value add apartment properties kind of opportunistically as we see things that are, you know, great values. Especially in Phoenix right now, we're number one rent growth again, which is phenomenal for us. And then we're buying industrial properties as another strategy in that mix.
Well, that's fantastic. I just love it. And tell me how you met and got involved and created a working relationship with Tariq Al-Moussa.
Yeah. So Tariq and I have been friends for a while. We have some mutual friends that that informed me that Tariq was looking to run a real estate fund and kind of, you know, put his audience, his global audience, to be aware of how they could invest with him, because he's never been able to do that. Everybody has always asked him, you know, how can we invest with you? And he's just not set up to do it with the show and all that. He had actually pursued the venture with a different group the year before, and it just wasn't a good fit. So since we were friends already and had a kind of an underlying relationship, we took a very open approach to it from both sides. And we decided, you know, we're really good at real estate. We don't have a global audience. You've got the audience. Let's bring us to the table to do the real estate, and you bring the viewers, if you will. And that's how we put it together. And that started last March. He and I bought a building together in September, and then we launched and opened the fund in October. And as you know, we've been fairly selective on the assets that we throw in there. We're not just buying anything that we've come across. It took 160 deals to be underwritten and over 40 offers to buy the building, this first building that we're closing next week. Which is a lot. It's a lot more than most fund managers would do, but we've got a track record of kind of performing, holding really high standards on things.
And I think that's so important for everybody to hear and listen, because, you know, some of many of the things I talk about, the power of association and doing joint venture deals, is so important to have that level of mutual respect, that level of quality control. And you're right, not many people would go through that many deals to find the one deal. No. They would basically just give up or even grab something that doesn't meet their standards. So,
And that's one of the dangers when investing in other people, right? When you invest in a partnership, the sponsors are really, you know, equally, if not more important than the real estate, because you've got to have faith in the sponsor, and the sponsor's interests need to be aligned with the people who are investing in them. And that's one of the targets that Tarik and I, you know, both share. You know, we're very aligned with that concept. Reputation is vital to both of us. I mean, he's a public figure. We've got to handle everything with the highest ethics and standards. So
I love that.
It's been a great partnership for us.
So what do you see as the future?
The future of the partnership with Tarik or the future of real estate in general?
Well, let's start with real estate in general.
Okay. I'm very bullish on real estate. We're in escrow on over $50 million in deals across both multifamily and industrial. And we have about $70 million in our development pipeline that we own. That's, you know, we're starting to move dirt on a deal in Texas. And then we've got another 12 acres we're going to build some more apartments on. We're pursuing that heavily. We think, you know, at a macro level, if you're in the right markets, which is kind of these Sunbelt markets, we're going to keep having population shift as the baby boomer generation continues to age. They don't want to live in the snow and shovel snow on their driveway. They keep moving to, you know, Arizona, Texas, Florida, these southern states. So supply and demand is going to stay strong. And then we've just been printing so much money. There's so much inflation. We think the best hedge against inflation is holding assets. And with a little bit of leverage, not crazy. We don't take max leverage ever. We stay conservative because a lot of the guys who got hurt in 08 were maxed out on leverage. And then the banks call your note and you can get in trouble in a hurry. So we usually ask for better rates by taking less leverage and apply that to our investments.
Smart move. I think that's great. And it really is when you're looking at people always have to have a place to live. So
yeah.
Multifamily is pretty close to recession proof unless you're high level type A buildings. But I think it's certainly something that we're investing in that with you and in other directions as well. So it's something that I really support. And it's really, you know, important when you're diversifying your assets. You have all your assets in the stock market. It's a high risk. You need to be able to diversify against different asset classes. So
agreed. 100%. Yeah. So I'm diversified across different real estate sectors more so than stocks and bonds, but I agree wholeheartedly. And, you know, asset allocation is something we focus so much on and everybody's a little different. You know, some people want bigger growth and can take more risk. Other people want lower risk and steady cash flow. That's why we kind of have our three buckets of investment.
Well, there's a lot of people out there that are looking for places where they can invest their money through syndications like what you offer. Share what you would recommend when somebody's thinking about it their very first time. They're looking for a syndication of some sort. Tell them what they should be doing in their due diligence process.
So the questions that people should ask, I have a lot of these kind of investor meetings and they're always asking, what's the question that I haven't asked you? Because all the sponsors can get out there and tell you why their investment is the best. I am kind of biased towards my own approach, but I like to focus on the future and kind of the fundamentals and what we can control and what we can't control. I take a very risk-averse approach of focusing always on the downside risk. If you focus too much on what the upside could be, you can get lost in the shuffle and kind of think, oh, this is what could happen. And I never like to do investments where what could happen is what I want. I always focus on what's my worst case. And as long as it meets my minimum threshold for a worst case, which is generally not losing money or very, very little, that's how we assess things. We talk about risk-adjusted returns because if you just compare what could happen, it's very hard to compare apples to apples. So we subscribe to an approach of, you know, lending is low risk, simple cash flow. It's got some liquidity as needed. Multifamily is our kind of middle bucket where we've got great fundamentals that, as you said, kind of recession proof. It still has cycles, obviously, but housing is not something that's going to go away as a need. So if you're careful with leverage and you're buying in core areas and buying, you know, good assets that aren't going to bleed you with maintenance, you know, that's a fairly safe place. And then we do development for our risky stuff. And it's only risky because of the time cycle. Risky sounds bad, the returns are really high, but I can't control 3 years that it takes to get through, you know, entitlements and zoning and then construction. And, you know, there's a risk component. So I always tell people to focus on the timing, because everybody's a little different. If you're going to give us $500,000, is there any reason you'd need that back next year? Because our timing cycle needs to align with the investor's needs. So I focus on the timing and the liquidity requirements, and what the downside risk is, and then the sponsor's track record. There's so many people that are showing up and want to be, you know, real estate investors and manage syndications. There's all these trainings for it, and they haven't done anything. They haven't invested anything. They haven't gone full cycle. That's a scary thing for me.
I think it's so important what you just talked about. And let's just talk about the timing. So for, Mike and I invest in quite a few large developments where the whole cities are being built or communities. And so we're looking at anywhere from a 5 to a 10 year turnaround, because we're basically creating all kinds of entitlements and roads and utilities and water treatments, and end up having to, you know, and we don't do it ourselves. We partner with people that have that expertise and have done it over and over and over again. So we know that, but it's not money that we expect to see for many years, but we're going to be in, and we'll end up making a very nice return on our money because we're patient and we have the ability for it to grow. Okay. And I think it's really true for people to understand that the time value of their money as to what they can do. And I love the way you describe the risk buckets. It's so important for people to see that. And certainly validating the track record of the person you're putting your money with. It's, you know, something Mike and I always, if we're looking at investing with somebody new, we put kind of a minimum amount in, and we kind of see how the relationship, see how it goes. And we might actually, you know, add additional money to it down the road, just the way we operate. And so how can people find out more about you, Chris?
HansenRE.com, like Hansen Real Estate, is our website, on Instagram, _Chris_Hansen. But our website's got contact forms. We always welcome inquiries and like to talk to people. But Sharon, that last thing you said, that's critical. And I just want to highlight it for your audience. You said you guys start with a minimum and see how the relationship goes. I can't tell you how frequently I'm in conversations with people that just assume because I'm in real estate, everything must be perfect. And they, you know, if we talk about what they're thinking about investing, they're talking about everything. And testing that relationship and seeing if the person on the other side of the deal is going to do what they say they'll do, and they're transparent and all that kind of stuff. That's so critical, because once you've invested, you know, I mean, it's hard to go backwards. And
yeah, Mike and I had a deal we were going to go into a couple of months ago. I still have the cash sitting in the bank because we got through the process and we're in the midst of really almost ready to pull the trigger. And it's like, did he just say what I thought he said? You know, it's like, okay, step back. This isn't for us. And so it's really important to understand, you know, the people involved as well. I mean, you talk about high integrity, high values as to what you're selecting. It's so important for people. People get afraid they're going to miss out.
And that's it. I was going to say it. It's almost like the possession bias. They mentally make the buying decision, and then it's almost like everything else they see, they ignore it. They put the blinders on because they want to get the deal. They want to get that return that's being promised. And there's unscrupulous people out there that just promise things that are not realistic, and people get caught up in that all the time. It just, it's a hot button for me. It irritates me because I know at the first seminar or speaking event you were at, the audience wanted to know about returns. And I take a very contrarian approach. I said, the returns that I've just done in the last decade don't matter, right? I mean, it's been a phenomenal run. Let's focus on fundamentals and let's focus on what we think we know about the future, but I'm not going to sit up here and brag about what we've done. I'll show you what we've done, but I'm not going to promise that. And that's, you know, that's just all perspective.
Yeah. And I actually appreciate that approach because there's so much emotion in investing, and particularly when you are investing in an area that you're not an expert in, you get emotional about getting excited about the possibility. Everybody else is in real estate. You need to get to real estate. So it's really important to go through those fundamentals and learn what questions to ask. Yep. And allow yourself, I always say, high emotion, low intelligence, right? So it's important to try and bring your intelligence up and the emotion down so you can make a prudent decision.
Vital. You know, one more tip that your audience could do when they're looking at investments that they're not ultra familiar with the product type or sector is call a broker in that space. You know, like we focus on brokers as our partners. They bring us our best deals because we let them invest with us. The guys who do whatever it might be, apartments, hotels, industrial for a living, that's a guy that you could call a stranger and say, here's a deal I'm looking at. Can I get some input? Those guys like to talk to people. I mean, that's their job. If you can't send what you're looking at investing to a broker that specializes in that, and that guy doesn't say, yeah, this makes sense, I like it, I'd have caution.
Right. Know? And they're the ones that they live in that arena. So they can probably look at it very quickly and give you a very quick response as to what you've got going. So I think it's important to do that as well. And I always say people, you know, in the world of brokers, people always trying to cut their commissions. And I go, I'd rather pay my broker another percentage than what everybody else is, so that the next time he has a good deal, guess who he's going to call first, right? So
I had dinner with some 35-year veterans in Phoenix of the multifamily space. And these guys are institutional level. I mean, these are the most senior of guys in town in that business. And we were having a closing dinner because we bought a building from them last month. And we talked about that exact point. And I've always done that. We pay our brokers. We even bonus the brokers because we can't be the expert and know every single thing all over every town and all the markets we play in. But taking care of the brokers is the easiest way to always stay at the top of the list.
And you have the opportunity to hear about deals before they become public even sometimes.
Well, you know, that's our strategy. We got the deal that we're investing together in from a prominent broker in town, and it didn't hit the market. It came directly to us because we're a good buyer. And, you know, how do you put a value on that? We give them an extra point on it. It's an irrelevant number to us, and it makes those relationships stick.
And it's all about power of association, as the people watching and listening to this know I speak about all the time. And I just love the fact that we've shared this story. And I'm so proud of you, Chris. And I'm so proud that you came up to me that day, because you just, you know, it was music to my ears and to my heart that you don't know when you're impacting someone's life. And it's something that I will always appreciate you making that effort. And I'm delighted that we are now investing with you and look forward to a long-term relationship. And I think it's a great story. I'm happy that we're able to share it here. And you're going to hang out with me, because for those of you that are not part of the private Facebook group, Play Big Move with Sharon Lecter, please go ahead and join. We'd love to have you there, because Chris is going to do another interview with a little more in-depth information and telling us about his daily habits. So in addition to taking refuge in Flagstaff in his brand new home. So take care, and thank you, Chris. And we will, you'll hang in with me for a moment or two. And for the rest of you, it's time to play big. Be number one in your field, live your legacy, and create maximum impact. And go out and have an incredible day. Listen to this, rewind, listen again, because incredible information Chris has shared. And we'll see you in the Facebook group. Take care. Thank you for listening to this segment of the Play Big Movement podcast. Please subscribe to iTunes and leave us a review, as well as join us in other areas of social media, Twitter, Instagram, and LinkedIn at Sharon Lecter, and for Facebook, author Sharon Lecter. Thank you so much, and have a fabulous day.